Hi people, welcome to the Adia Talks podcast, and particularly welcome to day three of our devotional. Apologies, day three is a little bit late, but we are still in day three of our devotional on Be Transformed. I hope you guys are finding it useful. I hope you are catching the revelation God is giving you. I know I certainly am, because this was something for me, to be honest, and we've just moved in together into what the Lord is doing. And as I said, we're recording this really real time as He's revealing to us and showing us what He's doing in this moment and what He wants us to grasp from this Be Transformed 5-day devotional on this podcast. So thank you so much for tuning in. I will just say, if you haven't listened to day one and two, because we're in day three now, I will encourage you to go back and do so. It's only 5 days. It's a journey that I believe the Lord is taking us on, in fact, that I know the Lord is taking us on, and it would be useful for you to just follow that through the way He's, you know, taking us on that journey, so it all comes together nicely. And second thing is, I'll encourage you as well to spend some time journaling, you know, writing down what comes to you, what, you know, the Lord's saying, etc., and all of that. So I'll just quickly pray. So thank you, Heavenly Father, for this day. Thank you for day three in Be Transformed. Father, we thank you for the transformation that you are bringing alive in our lives, Lord, in our hearts being transformed to be more and more like you, our minds becoming more in tune with you, for us to just have that oneness of spirit that you so desire for us to have with you. We thank you for just transforming us every single day, every single moment, Lord, and we just thank you for what we're going to receive today, Lord, and how it's going to impact and transform us, and the people that will be even transformed. Father, I thank you for them, for everyone that's going to tune in, Lord. Again, it would not be a word that just gingers or is exciting for now, but it would be something that's a seed sown deep within them that brings about the transformation that you so desire. And I pray that even for myself. Lord, we thank you and we bless you in Jesus' name. So, guys, today's topic, I'll just do a quick recap, actually, just for the sake of doing a recap, you know, and we're going on a journey, so it's not, you know, you're going on a journey to a destination, this is not obviously not a final destination, but, you know, the Lord's taking us on a five-day journey, so there is, you know, the journey follows through. You know, you have to go on the first road to get to the next road, to get to the next turning. It's all connected, so it's definitely not all in isolation. So day one, we spoke about let Him do a work in you, just, you know, really surrendering to God and letting Him actually do a work in you, in your thoughts, in your hearts, in everything about you. And that's actually a constant process, you know, of transformation. We never have arrived at a certain point. We keep on molding or being molded to be more and more like Christ. As I said, like almost more and more Christ, because sometimes like seems like a prototype, but, you know, to wear Christ and to just, you know, just in every way just embody Him in our lives. And then the second day we moved into the changing of garments, and you know, if I put the 2 days together, it's almost like the Lord's saying, let me do, it's not almost right, but He is saying, let me do a work in you, right? And we surrender ourselves to that work that He's doing. And then He's saying, I want to change your clothes. So we're already, you know, we're saying, God, I'm open and I'm here for you to do the work in me. And the first thing He's doing is like, I want to take off these filthy garments that you're wearing and I want to change your clothes, you know. So we looked at the scripture, which I said the Lord's been really highlighting to me, where in the book of Zechariah, where Joshua had the filthy garments changed, and he had a turban put on his head. And I encouraged you, still encouraging you, to just read that scripture, meditate, ask the Lord to open your eyes. You know, for me, there's definitely something very personal there, which I needed to take action to do. But, you know, there would be something in there for you. But that just demonstrated to a lot of us that we're sometimes wearing the wrong clothes. Yes, we're saved. You know, we know God, but we haven't quite known him to the point of really understanding who we are in him, and we then wear the wrong clothes, you know. So we're wearing, it could be self-righteousness, which is one aspect. It could be we're wearing the labels people put on us, the restrictions, the limitations they've labeled us with. And then the last thing is we could just be wearing all the things that the enemy tries to throw at us, the worry, the anxiety, the this, that, and the other, you know. So we're wearing the wrong garments. And, you know, as I explained in yesterday when we spoke about it, you know, that was actually happening in the spirit, in a sense, because the prophet Zechariah was having a vision. It was a vision that he had. So it wasn't even something that you were seeing there. It was actually happening spiritually. And sometimes we're not even aware. We could be like Joshua, just on the earth, just doing what we think we need to do. And we're not aware that we're wearing filthy garments, that we're wearing the wrong garments, you know, garments that are not good, or not suitable rather for us to be priests, you know, king and priests. You know, Joshua was a high priest. The garments he was wearing were not suitable for him to do his priestly duties, you know, going back to the way things were done in the Old Testament. But we are now kings and priests, and sometimes we're wearing the wrong garments. We're not putting on Christ. You know, Christ has come, died for us. We've, you know, inherited, if you like, his clothes, or we should put him on. And we're not doing that because we don't know who we are. We allow the enemy, our own self, or we think we're doing it through our own ability, or we allow people to define who we are. And sometimes, I dare say, you know, it is people who are also in the body, people who are, you know, we may even look up to in some sense. It usually is that, you see, when you're looking up to people sometimes, and you're looking up to them beyond, sometimes we go into this, I don't want to call it over honor, because I don't want to never discard what honor, you know, how powerful honor is, and we should honor people. But sometimes we actually honor people more than we honor God's word. So God has told us something, but we honor what somebody thinks so much over what God has clearly told us, right? So there's this quote-unquote over honor going on, and we hold on to those labels that they've described us as. So we just hold on to, stay in that box that they put us in, when the Lord is saying much more, or he's taking us in a different direction, or and all of that. And it's not always easy. I don't know why I'm going this direction, because I feel this is probably for somebody. It is not always easy to take the stance to make those changes, but the Lord would give you the grace, you know, to make sure you are wearing what he said, and you are, your identity is in him, and not what X and X says, or this person says, you know, no matter who they are in your life. I'm not saying be rebellious or do any of those things. I'm just telling you and reminding you to put Christ first above everything. So that's a side note. So today's topic is sons and daughters. Sons, because that's what the word says, but I say sons and daughters for just the ease of us understanding. We're all, you know, God's children, but, you know, the word will, in most cases, we'll call it sons, right? Being the sons of God, what does that actually mean? And just a reminder that the Lord wants to, is reminding us that we are sons of his, we are his children. We're not just, you know, here to just, because sometimes we can get into this, like, I'm just serving God, and I'm just serving without like a connection to him, or without like a cause or something, right? But we are sons. The Lord created us in his image and likeness, and he created us as his children, and we are to live as sons. Now we have come into Christ, we are to live as sons, because essentially what's happened is we're now joint heirs with Christ. So you can say, one way I love that somebody described it is like, you know, okay, let's not get into too much of the Trinity or trying to explain it, but if we just take the Trinity as a whole, right, you know, Jesus is like big brother, or joint heirs with him. We've inherited, you know, all the things that Jesus is, as far as being a son of God, and, you know, the Father is our Father, like, or God is our Father, you know, our Abba Father, our Father, you know. And when we think about sons, or sons and daughters, right, there is a, there's a natural inheritance you get as being a son of somebody. So, you know, sometimes it's difficult because we're all in different stages with our biological parents, you know, things. But if you just imagine, you know, a normal perfect, or what we would brand as a typical perfect family, right, there's the children have a good relationship with the parents. You know, the children have access to certain things that like outsiders won't have access to. The children are expected to, in some ways, emulate their parents. They're expected to carry that name, you know, the last name, you know, with whatever the last name brings behind it. I'm just, you know, trying to make it as real as possible, right? But the children are expected to do all of that. Now, imagine a family that has like a good, like maybe they have like a lot of companies and different things around the world, and that's like their family name. You know, if it's again a good family in terms of being well behaved, right, the children will usually have, even if they don't run the company or work at the company, they usually be very well established, at least having, you know, they may be doing their own thing, but they'll have some sort of, you know, a number of shares or portion of the business that they're going to inherit. They normally have like things set up really well. And they then do have access as well to their father or to their mother, whoever's the sort of matriarch, right? They do have that level of access. And again, good family. I'm thinking about an amazing family. They have access that, you know, Joe down the street probably doesn't have access to, or all of that. They have all of those things that they would receive. And even from that perspective, you would think about, you know, they would have a closeness about them as well. So they would speak to each other. So their father might even be somebody who's very like respected in society and a very like strict, stern businessman. But with his children, he loves them so much. He's, you know, he probably dotes over them. He wants to make sure they're okay. Yes, he wants to discipline them. He wants to make sure they have good values and all those things. But he also wants to like just, they have a certain level of access, and call it a mushiness he'll probably have towards his children, making sure they're okay. He wants to know what's on their mind. You know, he talks to them. They will probably say, oh, daddy, this is my problem. Or da, da, da. He listens to them. He gives them advice. He shares his own life experiences. Like, you know, that's it. And if we think about that, Abba Father is even more than any perfect earthly father is, right? So if we think about that and we equate that to God and how he views us and how he loves us so much, like the love is so, you can't even imagine it. It's just, you can't fathom it really, right? But if you, with the little bit you can fathom, if you take that and put it in the context of our Heavenly Father and how much he just absolutely adores us, you would begin to see things from a different perspective. And I think often we don't view ourselves as sons. We think we are serving God in the sense of, yeah, I go to church and, you know, I'm an usher in the church and, you know, all of this. We're, like, we reverence him, right, in that perspective. But we don't go the extra step to the next level of saying we're not just servants, but we are sons. We are actually sons of God. There's so many scriptures in the Word that talk about, you know, this being a son of God. The one I love, well, I love all of them, but, you know, one of the most popular ones is Romans 8:14, which talks about, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So, you know, again, Holy Spirit is the one who would lead the children of God, because we have already, you know, we were saved, we surrendered to him. We said, Holy Spirit, Jesus, take over my life, all of that. And Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God that is then given, you know, is given to us at salvation. You know, we engage with him and then we live through Holy Spirit, and he reveals Jesus to us. And he, you know, he guides us, he shows us, and we are ultimately the sons of God. Some other scriptures to reference, just so you can take them away and, you know, ponder on them yourselves. Let me just look at Galatians 4, 6. Okay, I'll first read Galatians 3:26 says, For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Again, our faith in Jesus Christ, our salvation, we receive salvation by faith in Jesus, and we become sons of God. Now, it's possible, as I said, we are automatically sons of God, but sometimes we don't realize we are sons, so we don't live as sons. We live as like, you know, we have this like, you know, I don't know how I'm trying to describe it, but we don't live from the perspective of being a son. So it's almost like you have it there. It's like once we've received God, we've received Jesus, we've had the faith in Jesus, we've received him, you know, we receive Holy Spirit, because once you're saved, you get the Holy Spirit, then there's the activation or the engaging part of, you know, our relationship with Him that comes into play. But like, there are all these things that you get. So now that's another topic, but people sometimes don't, you know, engage with Holy Spirit actually, so they don't live to the maximum, right? So they just say they're saved and that's it, right? But one of the things is what we receive as we're saved, we are then actually sons of God. But people don't often actually take that. So when you get saved, they're like so many packages. I view them as like gifts, for instance. I view them as gifts that we receive, right? But if we don't actually open the gift or actually take advantage or understand what's given to us, understand what it actually does mean to be saved and be a son of God and walk in that identity, then we won't receive those things to their full capacity. If you know, when we get saved, we don't understand our authority that we have in Christ, then the enemy just wants to walk all over us and trick us and treat us. And you know, he's happy with a he doesn't mind a Christian that says they're saved and they said the salvation prayer. That's not his problem. His problem is when you know who you are, when you pray, when you have authority, all of those things, right? So sonship is actually something, funny enough, the Lord really highlighted to me this year to study. I haven't done as much as I would like to, but in this 5 days, it's something he's highlighting to us. So he's saying, you know, taking us through, I want to work in you. I want to change your clothes to be my son, be my daughter, you know, to understand what that is, to actually receive me in fullness and start to walk in that level of sonship, of understanding who you are. You know, recently as well, you know, we had something called Abba's Heart, which was fantastic. I don't know if any of you who are listening caught that. That was probably a couple of weeks or so ago, and it was just a time in the Father's presence. And you know, the Lord had called that gathering and that meeting way at the start of the year before any of this was happening. But you know, with Abba's Heart, you know, the Lord was saying he wants to just really get people to, he wants to just pour out his heart of refreshing and love and healing. And the healing was more from an emotional healing that he pointed out, as opposed to being necessarily physical healing, of just healing of people who've been hurt, who don't understand him as Father, because their relationship or what they view as a father is different. Like, it's not been great. So when they think about Father, they just equate God, and you know, you think God, the mighty God, the wonderful, he's all those things. Yes, we fear God, we have a reverence for him. He is incredible, Karabasi, mighty, everything that his word says he is, awesome, amazing God. But you know, he actually does care about us. I love that Psalm, you know, Psalm 139, that says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. He took time to make us. He put part of himself in us. He gave us the ability to be like him, that we can speak forth things, we can declare things, we can create. You know, when Adam and Eve were there and he had created the animals and he created them, then he said, I want you to name all the animals. Like, he prepared the place for them, then said, I want you to name all the animals. I want it to come out of your mouth, because I've created you. I've put part of myself in you. You know, in all of this, there's so much, you know, that he's placed within us, that he looks at us and says, wow, you know, who, like, you know how the angels are like, why are you mindful of these people? You know, like in the book of, I believe, Hebrews 1, where it talks about how, you know, he created the angels, and the angels are just wondering, this man that you're so mindful of him, who is man, you know, who is that? But that's how much he's like invested in us. And if we don't take advantage of that, then we're not living life in the fullness. We're not living life fully. And I feel like as I'm speaking this, I am preaching and charging to myself as well. You know, we're not living in the fullness. And often we can have moments where we are, you know, and then we have these other moments where we're just like unsure and we're wavering, you know, because of life circumstances, because our mindsets are not quite firm, because, you know, we grow up with a certain mindset. You know, let's say we have a mindset that is not telling us all these things. We have a different mindset of God, and then we grow up, that's like embedded in our quote-unquote our psyche, right? So then we grow up and we now have to make all these efforts to shift our mindset. It's like growing up right-handed or left-handed, and then somebody says, now you have to be right-handed. That's a lot of effort than if you changed it when you were five, you know, or vice versa, right? So it's a similar thing of the shift in mindset. So that's why sometimes we have these moments where we're like, I know who I am, all of this, and then suddenly, you know, we're just a bit down, and then the enemy sees a down moment, then he comes in, we don't even know when he comes in, or there's a door open, or all of those things, right? There's so much, it's quite broad, but we have those. But you know, we need to first of all understand who we are. So there'll be two categories of people, I believe, listening to this: people who haven't fully understood their sonship ever, or their who they are as sons and daughters of God. And I'm just saying sons and daughters, but you know, who, people who don't know who they are. And then you then have the people that have known who they are, but like it's not, there's no certainty, like the conviction isn't strong enough for it to be a lasting mindset. And in both situations, you know, we have to continue to pour, you know, to remain in the Word, because if you waver between the Word and the world, the world will always try to give you their own definition, define who you are. But we have to continue to remain in the Word, and you know, continue to grow our relationship with the Father, and He will give us that conviction. And I just pray that everybody who's unsure, uncertain, or never have, that you have an encounter with God that will so change that for you. You know, that's why I've encountered that. Whenever you feel something different coming on, or you sense something different come on, you can go back to that. Like, it's literally like you switch back to that. You remember that, and it just assures you of who you are. And that conviction, that it will be a lasting conviction, that you will receive. The way Jesus knew who He was, right? Jesus, that's why we need to put Him on. He knew who He was. He knew, even in the struggles, in Gethsemane, in everything that was happening, He knew who He was. He knew Father, he knew His Father was there. He knew Abba was there, you know? So, you know, and it's something we need to do, because the world is awaiting our manifestation. Because we need to manifest God. We need to manifest His glory, because His glory on the earth, it comes through us. We are carriers of that, in the sense that He deposits it in us, and there are things that He wants to do on the earth that we're here to do. But if we don't come with the certainty or know who we are, it's difficult for us to move into that, to really embrace that. But we need to be convicted of who we are in Him, and then, you know, we manifest, because the world is waiting our manifestation. All this stuff going on is awaiting the manifestation of the sons of God, the sons and daughters of God. But yes, so, you know, that's what I just really, really felt strongly to leave you with today. And to remind you, and, you know, we probably talk about this another time, but, you know, we are not on the earth just for the sake of being on the earth. Even if you were born out of a one-night stand, or you were born out, you know, maybe there was a rocky relationship surrounding your birth, or, you know, whatever the situation is, maybe you were even somebody that you thought you were aborted, your parents thought they aborted you, but you know how some people think, oh, they got rid of the baby, but the baby didn't actually, you know, that didn't actually happen. Or maybe there was two babies or something. Even whatever, however bad the situation is that you came here on the earth, believe me, when the Lord had, I mean, I say the Lord has a reason you're here, and He has a plan for your life. So I would encourage you to not believe that lie, that you're just here just to be coasting. You're here, there's a reason that you are here on the earth. And once you start to realize that I'm on the earth for a reason, and I have to, I have to live it out now. When I say live it out, people get caught up with purpose, and oh, I want to find my purpose, and da-da-da-da-da. And I'm of the like, yes, 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 but just follow Jesus and He'll show you everything. Because I have a sort of a slightly different view on purpose than most people do. But, you know, there is, you know, there is a reason that God has you here. Ultimately, my view is all of us as Christians have the same purpose, in a sense. They're just different ways we go about it, through different assignments and different alignments that we're placed in to go forth and do. So I might be an interior designer, somebody might be a, you know, accountant, different, you know, we have, and you know, the purpose ultimately is to draw people to Christ, salvation of souls, to set people free, all of that good stuff, right? There might be those, you know, that those things that we all do as Christians, what we're all meant to do, and to really save, bring other people to the Lord. But we all do it through different means, through like different ways we do it, and then different might be life. Some things might be the lifetime things. Some things might be, which tends to be what people call the purpose. So the purpose is to be somebody that has the ability to, you know, you heal people wherever you go, like, you know, whatever you do, you have that healing thing. So that's kind of the lifetime thing. And then the short-term assignments is like, okay, maybe you work here for 3 years, you do the Lord sent you on different assignments. But I digress. But ultimately, you know, we are here for a reason. We're on the earth for a reason. We're on the earth for a reason. For such a time as this, God has their books in heaven written about you, the specific things that you're meant to do at certain times, all of that. I'm digressing a lot on this topic, but I just want us to come to that understanding of who we are. We're not just people that are just, you know, here like that. You know, and I will digress too much if I go on talking about this. But really, the goal of today is to bring back that son and daughter sonship perspective, make you understand who you are. So I encourage you to go away and do some more study. I will be, because that's, the Lord gave me things to study for the year. Sonship is like the only topic. The rest of them are people to study. But you know, just understand, I encourage you to go away and read up more, ask the Lord to reveal more about sonship to you and what that looks like, what that actually means. And I just pray that you actually have encounters with Him. I pray that He opens your eyes and your ears. Like, I really pray, and I just impart in you, you know, godly dreams, visions, all of that, for you to just receive that level where sonship becomes clear to you. I pray that you have that encounter that will not, that will cause you to understand who you are, never go back from that place. So Father, we just thank you for this time. Thank you for, thank you, Lord, for reminding us who we are in you. I bless your holy name. I give you all the honor and praise. Thank you that your sons and daughters will indeed manifest. We will manifest because the world is awaiting our manifestation. And Lord, just prepare us for what you have ahead of us, Lord. Thank you, Father, for everything, for everyone that would tune into this. I bless you for their lives. I thank you that they are sons. Thank you, Lord. Give you all the honor and glory. In Jesus' name. So people, take care. God bless you. Day 4 tomorrow. Bye. So guys, thank you so much for tuning in to this impromptu devotional. I pray you will indeed be blessed. If you want to follow us on social media, we are Adia Talks Community. On Instagram, we are Adia Talks, on all the other platforms, Facebook, Twitter. We also do have a ladies-only prayer room, Adia Talks Prayer Room on Facebook, so you can join that as well if you're interested. We have monthly meetings and all sorts of activities going on as the Lord leads. So I encourage you to get involved if you really would like to find a group to fellowship with regularly. So again, thank you so much. Really do appreciate this. Please make sure you share this with your friends, your family, those who, you know, you believe will be blessed by this, that would desire to grow and all of that. And I do believe that the Lord will have something and does have something for them as well. So thank you so much. Take care and God bless.